Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History, the podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history.
The luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This would have fighting power.
Hello, welcome to Speaking of History. My name is Eric Langhorst. I'm an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri. And you're listening to a podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history. Today's podcast is episode number 184, and I'm recording this on the afternoon of March 20th, 2009. Well, last week we did a very interesting and cool project in class. I wanted to talk about it a little bit. I did put a couple tweets up on Twitter as we were working on it, and had quite a bit of feedback from other history teachers saying, you know, could you please do a podcast or a blog about how you did that project? And so I'm just going to kind of walk through and explain a little bit of what we did. It's called the, or what we called it, was the Common Craft-like video. Many of you have probably seen the Common Craft videos from, or Common Craft videos in plain English from Lee Lefevre. And basically they are, well, it's hard to kind of describe. They're like pieces of paper that are moved along with some narration behind them, and they're really, really well done. I use Common Craft videos all the time when I'm trying to demonstrate different things that they have done videos on. For example, I teach a graduate course at Park University on using technology in the classroom. So just last week we were starting class, and we're talking a little bit about blogs and RSS feed, Twitter, social media. And Common Craft has actually done videos for each of these to describe them. And so I use these all the time. Whenever somebody has a question about one of these different types of technologies, I always recommend the Common Craft videos. They've been seen millions of times. And so I thought it would be kind of cool to incorporate the Common Craft type video along with some of the things that we were studying in class. Now, I did not contact Lee Lefevre ahead of time. We tried not to use the name Common Craft. You know, the process is similar to what they did, and really we're just trying to, you know, mimic their great style. We're not trying to infringe on any copyright or anything, and I sure hope we didn't do that. I don't think we did, but definitely my students love the work that Common Craft does, and so we're just trying to kind of emulate a little bit of their style. So the topic we've been talking about lately is kind of Western expansion, Manifest Destiny, a little bit of the causes of the Civil War. So I took five topics that my students had to understand for, you know, some assessments and just kind of a general knowledge of what we're studying. And those topics are the Compromise of 1850, the Election of 1860, the Gold Rush, the Oregon Trail, and the Mexican-American War. And I broke them up into groups of five, and at first that seemed like a lot of people for one group, but it worked out really well, and we'll kind of talk about that a little bit later. And then I created a packet or a folder for each topic. So for example, we use various databases here in our LMC, and so I printed up some of the database information, for example, like on the election of 1860. So I printed up some of the information from Wikipedia, I printed up some information from some of the EBSCO database history sources we have in the LMC, and each folder had probably five or six different articles from different credible sources about that particular topic. And I just made one copy of each of those. So I put those in a folder and then just went ahead and labeled them like the Gold Rush or Compromise of 1850. And then after I assigned them into groups, I then on day one told them a little bit about what the Common Craft videos were. And we went ahead and we watched several different episodes, and I showed them, I think the first one I showed them was maybe the one on electing the president, where they talk about the Electoral College. I also showed them one, I think, on social media, and then they have kind of a fun one that they did before Halloween this last year on how to kill a zombie, and so I showed them that one as well, and of course that was the favorite for most of my students. So I gave them kind of an idea of what Common Craft does as far as kind of moving and manipulating the different paper and stuff. And then after I showed them the Common Craft videos, I then assigned them to a group. I then gave them a topic, and then I gave them a little bit of time to work. Now, I also gave them a scoring guide to kind of outline a little bit of what they had to do for the project, and I'll put a copy of that up on the website as a PDF. But basically, their goal was to explain their concept or their term in about a two-minute video that was modeled after the Common Crafter videos. So the first day was a lot of kind of explaining, showing them what it was, giving them a little bit of time to get into their groups. And then the second day, we had some other things going on as far as notes and different presentations. So like the second day, I gave them like about 20 or 30 minutes of the period. So not the entire period, just kind of cut it about in half. Then by day three, I gave them again about 20 or 30 minutes. We did some other things for the first half of the period. And I kind of like spreading it out like that into segments, because at the grade level that I teach, which is eighth grade, I think that sometimes if you just give students an entire period, in our example, when we have a normal day, I think 45 minutes or whatever, sometimes that's just too big of a chunk of time for them to work on stuff. I think with some projects, if you require a lot of things to get out and work on, 45 minutes works okay because there's a lot of like lead time. But on something like this, I kind of like giving them just part of the period, because then they could really kind of focus in on that time period, and they knew they had a limited time, so they kind of start to work a little bit faster. But I gave them several days, parts of several days, to work on the project, and then by day four, we filmed. Now again, I say day four, but day two and day three were like each about 20 minutes or so. So when they're working in groups, what they're doing is they're writing a script, and they're having to write everything out that they're going to narrate, and that's part of what they're going to have to turn in at the end of the project. So they create a script, and then they also brainstorm on what they're going to do to visually tell the story, as well as tell the story through auditory means. So while they're creating the narration, they're then also thinking, what could we show? So like the example that I used was, okay, you're talking about the election of 1860, and you're trying to explain the results, for example. How are you going to visually describe the results to people? Are you going to do a pie chart? Are you going to do a graph? Are you going to do some type of map? You know, exactly what are you going to do to show your listeners what the election of 1860 came out to be as far as results? So then, once they got all this stuff ready, when it came to the day when they were going to film, we went ahead and set up a table in our classroom. And I'm going to include a picture here, a couple pictures actually from the day that we filmed to kind of show the setup. But I took kind of a large table that I have in my room, and took a white piece of paper and taped that down to the table. And then I took a flip cam and put the flip cam on a tripod. And the way I put the tripod so that the camera would be filming down onto the table is I took one of the legs of the tripod and extended it out fully. And then two legs I extended and made them shorter. So kind of visualize a tripod with the longest leg being the furthest away from the edge of the table, the side of the table, and then the other two legs kind of against the table. So it's kind of leaning forward. So the tripod was kind of leaning over the table, and then I used the tripod's head or the base of the tripod to turn completely so that the flip camera was then filming directly down onto the table. Now, a couple tips on doing that. One, I've got a large sheet of paper, and my students need to know roughly where the filming area is so they can move things in and out. So what I did was I took just a light pencil and kind of just put a pencil mark so that they could then see if I have to move an object or an entire paper in, where does that need to be centered. One thing that I did on the first couple periods that I then later changed was I did have the flip camera up pretty high and then zoomed in on what was actually happening on the table. And I found that as you use the flip camera and you zoom, you do lose a little bit of the clarity. So on the later periods, I tried to lower the camera, the flip camera, so that I didn't have to zoom in as much. The other thing that I changed as we went through the day was I had these little clip, kind of like a desk lights that you use where you clip it onto the side of a desk. We had done some videos with some like green screen stuff a couple years ago. So we had some of those desk lamps, and I took those desk lamps and clipped them to the side, the sides of the table, and then that kind of brought a little bit more light into the filming area. And so when you watch these videos later, the ones that were filmed later in the day are going to be a little bit clearer because I wasn't zooming in as much with the flip cam. And then also there's going to be more light onto the filming area. so they're going to look a little bit better as well. The first ones came out well too, but just not quite as crisp. So when we filmed it, I was the one basically just starting and stopping the flip cam, and the person that was narrating was usually standing next to me on the other side of the tripod. Since we have five people in the group, and as I mentioned earlier, at first I thought, five people, you know, I don't know if that's going to be too many. It really ended up being about the perfect number, because you had quite a few people that could collaborate on what they're going to say and what they're going to do. But then when you do film it, you usually take one or two people and you have them just be the narrator. So they don't have to focus on moving objects in and out, because there's going to be a lot of different things happening where students are like sliding a piece of paper in or sliding a piece of paper out. And so having the two people narrate or one person narrate and having the rest of them kind of like cycle through all the different props really worked out pretty well. So I would say five people is enough. And then for me, that meant that there were going to be about five videos per class, because I have about average class sizes around 25, goes all the way up to 30, and I think I have one that's around 20. But that way we could create five groups for each of the classes. The style that we used is a little bit different than what Common Craft uses. Common Craft does a lot of manipulating objects and doing like kind of like a stop animation type thing. And they've got a recent video up on their YouTube channel. And again, I'll include the link for the Common Craft YouTube channel. But their most recent video as of this recording is actually a video that shows how they do all these different things. And they'll take a piece of paper, and if they want it to move across the screen, you know, they'll move it a little bit, shoot the video, stop, move it a little bit, shoot the video, stop, and keep doing that. And I told my students, you know, that's awesome, but if we would try and do a 2-minute video and have five different groups doing that, it could take us, you know, 5-6 hours to do each video. So what I told them was, we're going to have a non-stop running video, and you're just going to have to move things in and out and manipulate things however you want, whether it's on a ruler, you're going to move your hand, you're just going to, you know, push things in and push things out, however they want to do it. But we're going to shoot a continuous, you know, 2-minute segment, and however you want to manipulate objects, that's completely up to you. So we went ahead and did that, and again, you can kind of see from the picture that I'm going to include on the blog kind of where the students are situated and stuff. But it went really, really well. I mean, my students did an amazing job. They were very creative. They did some really neat things as far as describing the terms. I did have a requirement that they have a title slide, which has the title of what they're describing, and then also the first names of the people in the group. And then they also had to have a bibliography slide or image at the end of the video. So, you know, if they used Wikipedia, if they used EBSCO, if they used the textbook, they had to include that as a bibliography slide or image at the end of the video. And as soon as they got done, we had to do basically no editing. You know, I started the video and told them when I was starting, so there's no lag time to cut off or anything. And then once the video was done, I stopped it and instantly then put it onto YouTube. And so we had 25 completed videos, and they're all currently up on YouTube on our channel, so you can go ahead and browse through those. Again, there's five different topics, and I think there's like five different ones of each class. So it's kind of neat to see a variety. And my students really took to this project. I know sometimes we as teachers, especially with technology, think, oh, my students are going to love this project. And then you actually get into it, and the students are kind of like, you know, I really didn't like it as much. And this one was neat because I allowed them quite a bit of freedom to be creative. And when I asked my students the next day if they liked the project, and they said yes, and then I said, well, why? And several of the students in different classes said, you know, we really liked it because it allowed us to be creative. It allowed us to do something kind of outside the box a little bit with history class. And we try and do a lot of different unique things, but this really allowed them to be creative on an artistic level, and then also with kind of a kinesthetic level as far as movement and objects and filming. And then another thing that, as I talked to my students, it kind of dawned on me, you know, students like making videos, and they like the concept of videos, but there's quite a few students that don't like being on video themselves. They get very self-conscious, and they don't want to be on a video. So this was a neat way for them to create a video, but not actually physically have their face in the video. And a lot of them really liked that, that they could do neat things, but not have to be on camera. So just kind of a couple perspectives on it. I then went ahead and graded their content. They had to have, for example, they had to show me four main things that they were demonstrating or getting across with the video. And I think it was worth 100 total points, and 40 of the points are weighted towards did you actually describe the thing that you were trying to identify, whether it be the Compromise of 1850 or, you know, the Mexican-American War. How well did you really explain that to people? So we put these up on YouTube. I've received a little bit of comments back from people that saw me Twitter about it, and I put a little URL the day that we finished and said, oh, here's an example if you want to see. But we'd love any feedback that you have. Lele Fieber actually made a comment on Twitter saying that he liked them, and quite a few teachers have said that they'd like to incorporate something similar in their class. And it's just kind of a neat little project. You know, I don't know if I would do it for a different unit next year. I mean, I guess you could do it with really any unit where you had probably, you know, five or six or more things that you really wanted to identify. It's kind of neat to have only five and then kind of rotate those through the groups, because then we had a couple different people that did, you know, the election of 1860. So you got to see some different perspectives on how students describe the same event or the same concept, but just in a slightly different way. So if you have any comments, I would love to hear from you. If you do something similar, I would love to see the videos of what your classes did. I know my students would as well. And our blog address, if you want to see these, I'm gonna embed probably two or three of these in the actual blog entry, and then I'll include the link to the YouTube site if you want to see all of them. But our blog address is www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com, and we'll go ahead and put this entry on March 20th, 2009. So go ahead and check those out. Leave a comment on the blog. My students love feedback, as all students do. So if you like the videos, you can leave feedback directly on the YouTube video. We've enabled the comment button there. Or you can also leave a comment directly on the blog, and then other people can see it as well on the blog. So great project. Had a lot of fun. You know, sometimes you do something like this and it kind of fizzles out. And sometimes you hit a home run. And I really felt like this was something that we hit a home run on and that we're going to do in the future. And my students really liked it. So thanks for listening. We're going to try and continue to give you some more perspectives on some of the projects we're doing in our classroom as we wind down the year. We got basically two units left, so we're going to finish up the year. We're going to do some Abraham Lincoln television election ads from 1860 next week, and I hope to do a podcast about those and also post some of those great videos. So remember, until we meet again, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys. We'll see you again soon. Bye.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst, an 8th grade American history teacher at South Valley Junior High in Liberty, Missouri. This podcast has a Creative Commons Attribution non-commercial license. Show notes, links, videos, and pictures are available at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. Music used in the intro and close is Technotrip, a track by Sounds Abound. You can learn more about their royalty-free music for schools at their website, www.soundzabound.com. Comments or questions about the podcast are always welcome. You can contact Eric at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys.